Well, it's been a wonderful series on prayer, and my thoughts this morning and my prayers are that this series, it's not accidental. I think the Lord's drawn us to this series as a church. And I hope and pray that as a church it leads us deeper into Him, because we're living in a day and an age when we need to draw deeper into the things of God. I was talking to Pete just briefly before the church, and he said he's finding that people are more and more open now than ever before. And I think the contrast, the extremes are there. The people that are desperate to fill that hole in their lives, but there are also people that are extremely against what you and I believe. And so as a church, as a people, as individuals, it's time to stop mucking around. It's time to draw closer to God, and He will draw closer to us. It's time for us to seek His face and to plead with Him for what we need to plead with Him about. Amen? There would have been a time, probably not long ago actually, to be perfectly honest, when I would have turned down the opportunity to preach on prayer. But I say, thankfully, things have changed for me. I didn't share it with many people, but, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've always prayed. But my prayer life was far from what it should have been. And it certainly still needs a lot of improvement. And that's why this message is as much to me as anybody else. Up until relatively recently, I wouldn't have preached on prayer because I would have felt like a complete and absolute hypocrite. Sometimes I used to pray like a Pharisee, thinking that I was scoring points because of a long, scripturally accurate prayer that sounded good to others. I'm being honest here. Sometimes I prayed like an unbeliever, flat out not really believing that I was going to receive what I'd prayed for, probably because of many times in the past when God didn't come through for me. Sometimes I prayed a lot of small prayers because, though I wouldn't acknowledge it, in my heart I didn't think God was big enough to answer those prayers. But my biggest struggle with prayer, and I'm being brutally honest right now, my biggest struggle with prayer is what I perceived to be unanswered prayer. Let me emphasize, this was my perception, not reality. I would read scriptures like Mark 11:24, where Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted you." And I used to puzzle over that scripture and others like it. And I would pray for something and I'd see zero result. And this has, for me, over the years, resulted in a whole range of emotions. Fear. I'm not seeing answered prayers. Maybe I'm not even saved and I'm still in my sins. Frustration. The word says, pray and believe and you will receive. So why am I not receiving? Even outright anger that I had prayed fervently for something and it was very obvious to me that God should answer it. And yet nothing had happened. Anybody? There's one or two others. Yeah. At the extreme, and I thank God that this hasn't happened again for many, many years now, but at the extreme in my early years as a new believer, I had a couple of occasions in particular when I thought, that's it. That's it. I'm done. I'm giving this Christian stuff up. I've had enough. Which is stupid, self-centered, ignorant foolishness, frankly. Because as Peter said, and this is one of the verses I've clung to over the years, as Peter said in John 6, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Thankfully, that dumb idea of giving up didn't last long, and I would come back to God and ask for his forgiveness. Nevin, I want to thank you for speaking so honestly along these lines about your struggles with prayer. And I want to encourage you all to go back and revisit Nevin's message, the first of the ones on prayer, because what he said, I believe, is one of the keys to prayer. And it is the thing that God has been showing me in recent times and is the reason that I can be up here today speaking about this without being a total hypocrite. What is that key to prayer that Nevin talked about? Adoration. Adoration. I learnt as a young Christian this acronym, which we can all remember really easily. A equals adoration. C equals confession. T equals thanksgiving. And S equals supplication. And there's also intercession and waiting on God, and that's coming in the next couple of weeks. But this ACTS acronym is just a basic approach to prayer which I've found really helpful over the years. The only problem for me was it took me years to put it into real practice rather than just being a thing I knew about. But the first thing on that acronym is adoration. Put your stuff to the side and seek the face of the Lord. Worship him first and foremost. Confess anything that is coming between you and the Father. Give him thanks for all the many blessings in your life. As Nevin said, do you desire God above all to be with and talk to the one we love? Is love and adoration at the heart of my prayer? Or do I just go to God with a daily shopping list? Jesus taught his disciples to pray in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means reverenced as holy. Adoration first. And then your kingdom come, your will be done. You see, in that prayer, God focused. And so I used to, to some degree, but now when I go to prayer, I just spend time with the Father, reading the Word and worshiping him and thanking him. And pretty soon, the time is often gone, and sometimes there's not even any time left for supplication. But that's okay, because I've had a great time with the Lord. And there's the rest of the day that I can pray for what I feel led to pray for. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful change in my prayer life. I apologize if I made prayer sound a bit formulaic with that ACTS acronym, but it's just a handy tool to help with learning the whole building your relationship with God and starting with adoration to a loving Father who wants us to be with him, first and foremost. He just wants us to be with him, not to go roaring into his presence with a shopping list. And so let's talk about this thing called supplication. I suspect most of us, myself included, almost never hear this word outside of Christian circles, and hardly even within Christian circles. But supplication, according to the dictionary, simply means the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. That's supplication. In biblical usage, it means exactly the same thing, to plead humbly. It comes from the Latin verb supplicare, which means the same thing, to plead humbly. That word humble is important. It means to lower yourself, to bow down. If our country was run by a king, you wouldn't go into his presence with dirty clothes and with your hat on backwards or sideways or any other way, and with your hands dirty and with an attitude. You wouldn't do that. On the other hand, you wouldn't go racing into his presence and say, "King, I want this." You wouldn't do that. No, you would come tidied up with a respectful attitude, with your head bowed, ready to be addressed by the king. And this is how we come to our God, humbly, because he is a great God and he is worthy to be praised. Peter says in his first letter, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." Supplication is a part of prayer where we come humbly before our God with our specific needs, our specific requests to meet specific needs. The word supplication is found 60 times if you read the Old King James, but there's only 7 times in the NIV, and those are all in the Old Testament. The word often used in more modern translations is petition, or request. Let's turn to the word. I just want to read one verse only, and it's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And it's just so much packed into this little verse. So turn to Ephesians 6, verse 18 in your gadget or your real Bible. I'm sorry, that was a bit facetious, wasn't it? Ephesians 6, verse 18. I'm reading from the New American. "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." One thing you note in that verse is there's a lot of alls in there. There's 4 alls. So I just want to work through this wonderful little verse. It comes after the armor of God in verses 10 to 17. But the fact that it isn't part of the armor of God doesn't make prayer any less important than the armor. In fact, the opposite is true. Prayer and supplication are like, as one commentator has said, the atmosphere in which the soldier must live and breathe. The atmosphere. And this lines up with what was said of Charles Spurgeon regarding prayer, which was that it was the instinct of his soul and the atmosphere of his life. I love that. The instinct of his soul and the atmosphere of his life. Is prayer like that for you? The atmosphere of his life. And so the soldier is dressed in his armor. He has on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and his feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, and he has the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He's ready for battle. And in the place where he is ready, he is surrounded by that atmosphere which he breathes, without which he will shrivel up and die. And that atmosphere is prayer, which includes supplication. And so in Ephesians 6:18, we learn 6 things about prayer and supplication, or prayer and petition. Paul says, with all prayer and petition. Whether a quick prayer on the way out the door, or a particular time early in the morning, whether on your knees or while you're working, whether it is confession or thanksgiving or petition, whether it is public or private prayer, we are to make prayer an integral part of our lives, not just a little tack on the edge somewhere. It is to be integral in our lives. I have yet to learn that lesson fully. The second point ties in with the first. Not only do we have a variety of prayer, we are to pray at all times. Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where he simply says, pray without ceasing. We used to have a friend down south, and he took this verse absolutely literally. And so for the next week or so, he would literally pray all the time. And so he muttered prayers constantly, day and night. And he told me after he'd been through this little exercise that he ran out of things to pray about in 2 or 3 days and was becoming very repetitious. It doesn't mean you wander around praying constantly all the time. What this means is that we are to pray regularly and persistently. That's what it means, regularly and persistently. And so we pray a wide variety of prayers and we pray regularly and persistently, but we must pray in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This verse says that because of our weaknesses, sometimes we just don't know what to pray. And that is not surprising or discouraging, but encouraging, because the Holy Spirit is there for us and he's there with us. Isn't that beautiful? When we pray, you say, how do we know what the Spirit is teaching us to pray? And I think that the answer is that if we walk by the Spirit and not the flesh, we will know what to pray. If we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Paul says in Galatians 5:16, to walk by the Spirit. And in verse 18, to be led by the Spirit. So both we are to be led and we are to walk by the Spirit. In other words, we are to daily put to death the sinful attitudes, words, and actions in our lives and follow after the Savior as Jesus' disciples did. If you do that, you will show the fruit of your Spirit, of the Spirit in your life. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit in another series: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're walking by the Spirit, you will know what to pray. Your prayers will be kingdom-focused. We are to pray a wide variety of prayers. We are to pray regularly and persistently. We are to pray in the Spirit. And fourthly, we are to be on the alert. This is a theme that comes up a number of times. When Jesus is telling his disciples about the signs of the end days in the Gospel of Mark, he says twice, be on the alert, be on the alert. Paul says the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, also in the context of end times. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Sleep here is obviously not talking about physical sleep, but about spiritual sleepiness. Not being alert to spiritual dangers, being spiritually lazy, being distracted by the things of the world. That's a biggie, isn't it? Being tempted to drift away from the Lord. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. There it is again, that warning. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a what? A roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Don't be found spiritually sleepy, which makes you a target for the devil. I loved what Brian said when he was talking about confession, that part of his spiritual discipline is getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, he gets his cup of tea, and then he's ready for prayer. Now, it may not be 5 o'clock in the morning for you, and that's okay, but that spiritual discipline of being alert, being ready, being in prayer is a wonderful thing. Number five, persevere in prayer, and that's a biggie. This ties in with the second point about praying with all persistence. Don't be like I was as an ignorant young Christian when I decided to give up. That's stupid. Persevere. Paul said of the Thessalonian Christians that we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. That church was in the middle of really tough times, but they were known for their persevering prayer. We should be too. Perseverance is so important in a Christian's life. Perseverance in good works, perseverance when times are tough, perseverance in prayer, even when it seems, I emphasize seems, that God is far away or not listening. Because I can assure you, he is not far away and he is listening. Do you believe that? That's the thing. Do you believe that, church? It's true. And so we are to pray a wide variety of prayers. We are to pray regularly and persistently. We are to pray in the Spirit. We are to pray with alertness. We are to pray with all perseverance. And lastly, we are to pray petitions or supplications for all the saints. Last week, Willie spoke on his short drive to work and his prayer for us all. Prayer for the elders, the house next door, the sick people, everyone in this church. You must be praying fast, Willie, to get through all that in 8 minutes. But it was just such a blessing to hear that. And I know there are many others that pray a lot for you, for me. It's a wonderful thing. And I pray for you all. I do. I pray for us all as a church. I pray for the sick amongst us. I pray that we will all grow in Christ and that we will stay faithful and so on. But imagine if we all prayed for one another with all prayers and supplication at all times in the Spirit, with all alertness, persevering in those prayers. What a powerhouse we would be. A great example for us in this very thing is the Apostle Paul. As you read his letters to the churches, you clearly see that part of Paul's life involved regularly praying for the churches. For example, in Ephesians, Paul says, "I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." And then his prayers that he prayed followed. In Philippians 1 verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all." Imagine what would happen if we all prayed for one another like Paul prayed. Remember that I said that supplication is praying specific requests to meet specific needs. The Lord wants us to pray for our needs. Note I said needs, which doesn't include every whim and desire. But our God is a good God, he is, and he gives good gifts to his children. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In other words, he's not like the evil father that gives his son an ice cream at one moment and smacks him in the ear in the next moment. No, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, utterly consistent, utterly good, and as such, he will only ever give us good gifts. But as we spend time with him, we are to pray for our needs. This is what God wants us to do. I want to read you another passage, which I want you to turn to as well, Matthew 7. Very well-known scripture. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? That's a beautiful scripture. I love it. So what is the key then to understanding why God doesn't grant all our requests? If he's a good God, and he is, why do some of our requests seemingly go without answers, even though we have prayed for a good thing? Well, we could spend a lot of time on this. And you may have other answers to this tricky question, but I think one of the keys is knowing who God is. Prayer, as one commentator says, is a request to a personal God who answers as he knows best. We should not think that we will always have success in obtaining the things for which we ask. In his wisdom, God hears and answers in the way that is best. Do we believe that, though? That's the thing. In the past, I've struggled with that one. Let me give you an example from my life. I've prayed for a certain person who has struggled with depression and even suicidal thoughts. And this person was at times in a very bad way, and I feared for their life. This person desperately wanted to get better and live a productive, happy life. Many, many heartfelt prayers were offered up to God over a long period of time. Sometimes I was frustrated with God because I knew that he could heal this person immediately. And sometimes, like I said before, I was outright angry. Lord, why won't your healing come? Sometimes I was desperate with my pleas as I simply prayed for this person's life to be preserved. Often there seemed to be no answer at all. As a friend of mine once said, sometimes the prayers just seem to bounce off the ceiling. There was no miraculous healing. But this precious person is now improving gradually. This person smiles a bit more now. This precious person sees the blue sky a little bit more and is looking to a brighter future. And this thing I have learnt as I matured in my faith more. When I was crying out desperately, God heard. He wept with me. He was with me in the room or in the car as I cried out to him. And the beautiful thing is that this precious person has said to me, if I hadn't gone through this long haul of sickness, I would never have understood those that do. I would never have been able to empathize with them and help them through their challenges. And so now I see the answer, at least in part. Does that make sense? You see, I just have to have faith that our good and gracious God knows best in all circumstances, in every situation. And he sees the big picture. We don't. We're in our little space of the world with our little worldview. But God, he sees the big picture. He knows every heart. And in the midst of that understanding, we live in a very, very fallen world where bad stuff just happens all the time. It's just the way it is. But for the believer, we cling to an all-knowing, all-loving, gracious, powerful, and good God. Do you believe that? If it was Willie up here, he'd say, I can't hear you. Yeah. Do you believe that? Yes. Yes, we do. Thank you. Like a little child who comes to their father and says, Dad, can you help me? So we, as adopted children, come to our Father and we ask for what we need. I just want to close with a few thoughts about praying for what we need. Firstly, we must pray according to God's will. We must pray according to God's will. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. You say, how do I know what the will of God is? Well, that's a big subject that we won't go into now. But in a general sense, God's will is revealed in Scripture. And so the more you know his word and the more you know his nature, the more you will know his will. But we are to pray according to God's will. Secondly, in James' powerful little letter in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, he says this, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasure. When you go to God, make sure your requests line up with his will and make sure they are requests with pure motives. Are our motives selfish, or will they lead to the glorifying of God and for the benefit of other people? What about practical things like a place to live? In the Lord's Prayer, we are instructed to ask for our daily bread, and that's a good thing to ask. It is fine and good to pray for the necessities of life, food, clothing, shelter, the things we need. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's a beautiful passage. And this lines up with Matthew 7, where Jesus says, how much more will your Father in heaven give you what is good, or give what is good to those who ask him? Thirdly, make sure that you have clean hands and a pure heart when you pray. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, forgive. And if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. In a more general sense, confess all known sin so that there is no barrier between you and the Lord as you go to prayer. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." If you've just sworn at an obnoxious motorist and are thinking evil thoughts about him, you better set that right with the Lord before you go to prayer, before you ask him for anything. Fourthly, we must pray in faith. We know from Hebrews 11, verse 1, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that's why when you're in the world, you can't understand faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When James addresses his readers in chapter 1 specifically about wisdom, he says to them, "Let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Again in James chapter 5, in the context of healing, James says, "The prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick." 1 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we must pray in faith. Fifthly, keep in mind this beautiful fact, and I was blown away by this when I was studying it. I knew it, but to study it and to find it in a fresh new way was just wonderful. When we pray, do you know that the whole amazing triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved? Do you know that? The whole counsel of God is involved in our prayers. When we ask of God, pray as Jesus told his disciples and us to pray. He said, "Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven." That's how we begin our prayers. And it bothers me that some people ignore this basic instruction when we pray. It is to our Heavenly Father as his adopted children that we pray to. Not, as I said before, to some distant deity up there. We are praying to our Father. And so our prayers must always be addressed to the Father. Secondly, we end our prayers in Jesus' name. Why? Because again, the whole Trinity is involved. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're involved in your salvation, your sanctification, your glorification, and therefore in our prayers. Amazing. I think that is amazing. And so Jesus tells us in John 14, verses 13 and 14, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." That scripture takes quite a bit of meditating on. But praying in Jesus' name is not a formula, not some magic trick, but it does put a different complexion on the prayers we pray. Because when we pray in Jesus' name, we are, as one commentator says, praying in accordance with his mind and his will. It is to ask for those things that glorify God, that bless people, and that are for our own spiritual good. Another commentator says about this, "In prayer we call on him to work out his purpose, not simply to glorify our whims." The third member of the Trinity is also involved in our prayer life. As I said before, when I was talking about praying in the Spirit, and I quoted Romans 8:26, and that scripture is worth repeating. "The Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And verse 27 says, "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The whole Trinity is involved in our prayers. Beautiful. Amazing. I'll close with this, or these beautiful verses, which need no explanation. Be anxious for nothing. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing in this world we live. Are you going to take it seriously? No, maybe. Somebody said absolutely. Praise the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. But in how many things? Everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm going to back this up. Let's read this all together. It's up there. Can everybody read it from the back? Let's read this together. Ready? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding me forcefully that you are an awesome God, that you are a great God, that you want vital relationship with us, that you want us to come to you and worship you and praise you and be with you in prayer. Father, thank you that you know our needs even before we ask, but we are to come to you and cry out to you, Dad, help me. I need this. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you that you are with us today by your Spirit. Thank you that you lead us and guide us. We have so much to thank you for. And we have many things that we need on a daily basis. And Lord, you hear us and you answer us. Fill us with faith, Lord. Fill us with a new desire to spend time with you in our prayer closets, at work, after work, when we're with our friends and spouses, to just pray, to seek your face, not to leave you out on the sideline somewhere, but to include you in our conversation, to include you in our prayer, as we seek you, as we seek your face, as we seek our daily needs. Father, help us as a church to grow closer to you in prayer, both individually and corporately. Father, we don't want to be spiritually sleepy. We want to be alert. We want to be persevering. We want to be enduring in our prayers. We want to be filled with faith and belief and trust in you. Help us, Lord, I pray. In the wonderful and beautiful name of Jesus, amen.